It's gonna get uncomfortable, it's gonna get crazy, it's gonna get weird. But you have to get used to this. We're gonna interrupt each other. You're gonna interrupt your friends. You're gonna make your friends feel weird. You're gonna make your non-friends feel weird.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show.
Back to school to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool. I got my lunch packed up, my boots tied tight. I hope I don't get in a fight. Oh, back to school.
Oh, back to school. Good morning. It is Joe in the Radio Now Morning Show. And if you go to school in Indianapolis, Indiana, it's one place that we're on. We're also on in Houston, Texas. Well, you're going to school today. A lot of kiddos back in the school bus, back in the parents' car. You're probably just waking up really early right now. But good morning. Hey, everybody. How's it going? I'm also talking to the room, too.
Oh,
you guys,
it's
too.
Good. All it's right. Good. Honestly, I miss the first day of school. That's the only day of school I ever liked was the first day of school.
What are you laughing about, pork chop?
That was the worst.
What, the first day of school?
Day?
Oh, yeah. Getting back into the swing of things.
It was the funnest part.
I loved it. Because when you wake up, you're not even tired because your adrenaline's going. Because you get to figure out, like, how your schedule's going to be, how your class is going to be, how your teachers
all
are.
All summer, you slept until noon. Then all of a sudden, you're rudely awakened at 6 a.m.
I
fantastic.
Couldn't wait to see what
but you're excited.
Couldn't wait to see what we're going to have for lunch. That was always the best part. I know a lot of parents today. It's the celebrating. Get out of here, little Johnny.
I bet my mom was so excited. She had four of us running around.
Oh, God,
she
yes.
She was, like, hyped to your get mom probably, back to school.
Your mom probably cries at the holidays. She's like, oh, they're coming back. No. So, yeah, we are excited for everybody out there. It's cool to get back into routine, too, because while summer vacation is always fun, it's nice to get back into that routine. I get excited. This time of the year, football's around the corner. I got my fantasy football draft. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I had a lot of fun this weekend, though. Yesterday, I played disc golf with Pork Chop and our producer Pork Chop and our buddy Chad, and it's getting to the point now where I don't want to play with them anymore. They're just not good.
Pork Chop?
And Chad. They're just not good.
I swear you guys are in a throuple with this Chad guy. You guys talk about Chad.
No, he's
all of the time. And I'm like, who is this mysterious Chad that Porkchop and Joe are obsessed with?
Not obsessed with. What are you talking about?
Like, wait, should I text Chad? Oh, I bet Chad heard that. Oh, wait, Chad just texted me.
This, by the way, comes from the girl Liv.
That's actual dialogue that happens every single day in our studio.
This comes from you, the girl who every day, like, I'm going to go hang out with my friend Whitney and get avocado toast.
Yeah, I will admit I don't have a lot of friends here.
So I have one friend and you're making it into a threesome? Get out of here, you sexual predator. But no, it was fun. We played that. But it says Pork Chop and him are not that good. So I got tired of beating them yesterday.
Oh, you think you're better than them?
Liv, I've beaten them every time we've played.
I mean, this is true.
This is factually a statement that is accurate.
I wouldn't say, like, he's destroying us.
Yeah, like 10 strokes isn't destroying anybody.
I wouldn't say that's destroying.
It's like I show up to a putt-putt tournament against 5-year-olds.
Maybe you and Chad, Porkchop, need to put in some strokes by yourself to then be able to beat Joe.
Maybe. I mean, okay. I don't know. I you know, I try my best.
But that was cool. Also, this weekend, I got to hang out in Indiana. They had the Indiana State Fair kicked off, and that was fun. We got to do Taco Fest. So it was so cool doing that, meeting a bunch of listeners, eating a bunch of tacos, and having some cervezas. Cannot complain about that. How was your weekend, Liv?
It was absolutely hectic and busy, but also so much fun. I went to a baseball game Friday night. I went to the fair Saturday. Then I went to like a concert on Saturday. I saw Smokey Robinson.
Oh, wow.
Which was absolutely insane, legendary, amazing. And then on Sunday, I did goat yoga. So I did yoga with a bunch of goats, and it was the cutest thing I've ever been a part of. And then right after that, I signed a lease for a new place.
Yay!
I'm so excited. I was getting nervous because it's getting down to the wire in one month.
Are you sure you want to be signing a lease right now?
Why?
I don't know. I'm just saying that we're in the same spot too. I always get nervous about, I don't know, like
signing lease, get fired.
Yeah, well, it's just radio. It's a weird thing. But no, mine's, yeah, I think we have like till the end of the month and we have to figure out we stay in here. We're going to move again. I'm so tired of moving. I hate moving.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it, but I'm excited because I'll be in an actual house and I'll have a roommate and I won't be dealing with all of my problems at my nightmare of an apartment right now.
Yeah, all those cockroaches you used to have.
Don't play it. Ooh, Joe.
Sorry, don't play it.
It's too early for that.
Not too early for the cockroaches. This is prime time. All right, Porkchop, how was your weekend?
My weekend was very average. There was a little bit of Uber driving on Friday. There was a little bit of steakhouse serving that I did. There was a little bit of disc golf, losing to Joe three times. Didn't we play on Saturday?
Yeah, we played on Saturday,
and I lost by a lot. And then we played twice on Sunday. I lost kind of by a lot, but the last time you only beat me by 10, which I don't think
only
that's
by
bad.
10. When is that
that's
ever close? That's
I don't know okay, anything well, Liv, about disc
let's,
golf.
Let's look at this.
So.
Look, there's 18 holes, right?
No, yeah, it's like golf.
Right. So that it means is. If he beat me by 10, that means on 2/3 of the holes, I only did one more than him.
Yeah, just losing by 10 seems a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
Like even in golf. So,
but that still doesn't make sense to you? Out of the 18 holes.
No, I understand, but I'm still saying.
Only 10 of them, he did one more than me.
Yeah, no, I know how the scoring works. It's just like golf.
Right.
That still seems like a lot.
Whatever. It's not.
Hey, if you hear this now or maybe later, can you tweet us, Radio Now AM Show, and do you think of me beating Porkchop, is that a blowout? I'd say that's a blowout. That's pretty bad.
I mean, the first couple
games,
yes.
I like that he's doing a math equation here. He's like, well, Liv, if you carry the square root of the butt whooping that I received.
Statistically speaking.
I mean, odds are. I mean, the probability is.
I will say, every time we do like the show opening, we're talking about our days. The only day it's not like a wah, wah for Porkchop is after his trivia. He's always excited after that. We just need to play your trivia music every morning
there
to get you started.
Hey, good morning.
I'm down.
It's Joe on the Radio Now Morning Show. We've got a question about Family Feud. Wait, no, we don't. Oh, sorry about that.
I can make one up.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little bit. Thank you, Porkchop. Hey, you can let us know how your day is. Maybe you are in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're getting ready to go back to school this morning. We'd love to hear from you if you want to check on in anytime. It's 833-563-2539. That is 833-563-2539. Instagram and Twitter, it's Radio Now AM Show. And, of course, Facebook, just search for Radio Now in there. Give it a like, and you can be part of the show that way, too.
Oh, I love trash.
It's Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show.
Who cares about this garbage?
Chris Martin and Dakota Johnson are a couple again. Despite rumors that the private duo had split in April, the Coldplay rocker and the 50 Shades of Grey actress are planning to spend more time together later this summer. They have kept a low profile, last seen together in public in late April. At the same time, a source says their year-long romance was getting serious. So much so that an engagement could definitely be in the cards. Warner Brothers announced the untitled Elvis Presley biopic is set to open in October 1st, 2021. Austin Butler, who's from The Carrie Diaries, will play the king in the drama, which will be directed by Baz Luhrmann. And the studio says the movie will cover over 20 years from Presley's rise to fame to his unprecedented stardom against the backdrop of the evolving cultural landscape and the loss of innocence in America. I am so excited for this movie.
Are we going to see him on the toilet eating a peanut butter like banana sandwich?
I would think that's how the movie would end, right? Yeah, kind of the most epic way to end.
I would hope so. No, this will be really interesting to see how they do it. I love all these historical things or the way they reinterpret people's lives. Obviously, it's not exactly the same, but it is interesting.
And I don't really know a lot about Elvis Presley, so I'll be excited to see this. And also, Austin Butler, who's going to play Elvis, hot.
Oh,
super
well,
hot.
In that case, thank goodness.
Yeah. Camila Cabello went on social media to celebrate the 2-year anniversary of her hit single Havana on Saturday, but found herself sidetracked by messages that were criticizing her body. She then responded by writing an empowering letter to all the young girls growing up in an airbrushed world, reminding them that many of the photos posted online are edited. Camila said, "I'm writing this for girls like my little sister who are growing up on social media. They're constantly seeing photoshopped, edited pictures and thinking that's reality. And everyone's eyes get used to seeing airbrushed skin. And suddenly they think that's the norm. It isn't. It's fake. And fake is becoming the new real. We have a completely unrealistic view of a woman's body. Girl cellulite is normal. Fat is normal. It's beautiful and natural. And I won't buy into bull crap today." Yes.
I've always been a leader on that front as far as we got your clap. About not being into photoshopping myself. That, and I don't know really what I'm doing. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know how to. I tried to one time whiten my teeth and it looked really awkward.
There's,
so I gave up on that.
There's even some like actresses that I know that I'm huge fans of that won't let themselves be airbrushed even for a magazine cover, which I think is absolutely amazing.
But your Kardashians still are, so.
Oh no, I know. Yeah. I know. Hey, I know they're absolutely fake and I don't fully support that part of them, but they're still funny to watch.
I like Kim's butt, even though it's like scientifically impossible to be that way.
Valentina Sampaio has reportedly been hired to appear in a Victoria's Secret campaign, which would make her the first openly transgender model for the lingerie company, which has been trying to rebrand lately. The 22-year-old Brazilian recently posted on her Instagram page a photo of her sitting in a bathrobe backstage at what she said was a photo shoot for the company's Pink Line on Long Island, New York. Victoria's Secret and parent company L Brands have not commented on her Instagram post, which come amid the group's attempt to rebrand amid declining sales and following controversial comments that the group's chief marketing officer, Ed Razek, had made last year about the idea of including transgender and plus-size model in the Victoria's Secret fashion show. He was super against it, and they got a ton of criticism for that. I remember that happening. So we'll see. That's pretty big moves for the company.
Liv the Web Girl, thank you so much for the garbage this morning.
If you're feeling good, say yeah.
Yeah.
Monday motivation. We try to share some positive stories with you because Lord knows you don't always hear the good stuff that happens out there. Let's go to some sad stuff that had a really awesome response from a community, and that was what happened over this weekend in El Paso, Texas. Obviously a shooting. If you didn't hear about that, we'll talk about that more in Joe's Need to Know News. But blood centers in El Paso were overwhelmed by donations. I don't know if you guys have seen the video, but this is so incredible. Hundreds and hundreds of people stood in the 101 degree heat. It was burning up on Saturday for hours to donate after the El Paso police said they needed blood. It was urgent.
Oh my gosh, that gives me goosebumps thinking about that.
One person said there were angels that came by and they handed out food, water, hats, sunscreen, umbrella. One donor said no one was organized, just random people that picked up some stuff
right
to come to hand it out to those that were waiting. I saw a lot of people were just ordering food, like, hey, here's pizza for everybody. Take one
right
slice and keep it going. So what a tragic thing that happened in El Paso with that shooting at a Walmart. But these people coming together, that's just stuff you got to focus on.
Right.
You got to focus on the good in people and what they can do.
Absolutely.
What do you got today, Liv?
So I have a story about this little 5-year-old named Gabe Rodriguez. And when he was 22 months old, so like a little shy of 2 years old.
Yeah.
He was diagnosed with leukemia, and it was a cancer of the blood and bone marrow. And so in the 3.5 years that he had cancer, he underwent 22 spinal taps and 14 blood transfusions.
That is insane.
Along with his regularly scheduled chemotherapy.
I just can't even imagine that, Liv.
Right. And so while he was in the hospital, his mom luckily was able to stay with him the entire time. Like, you know, if his dad was at work or whatever. But they said that they would see kids in the hospital who would be going through chemotherapy alone. Because
oh my
their
gosh
parents would have to be at work to be able to afford all of the medical bills and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
So He is now cancer-free. He's 5 years old. He's holding lemonade stands at local baseball games and raising money so he can buy toys and things like iPads and stuff like that to donate to all of these kids in the hospitals who are going through what he went through and who might be a little less fortunate than he is, to just try to like make them happy.
Way to go, Gabe. That's
awesome. How inspiring. He's a little five-year-old.
All right, Liv, thank you so much. Pork Chop, what do you got for Monday Motivation?
There's a grocery store in Texas, and it's called H-E-B, and a lady and her two kids were shopping at this H-E-B. The lady works at Concho Valley Home for Girls and Children's Emergency Shelter, so it's kind of, she's like a foster mom, and she was there with the two foster girls.
Okay.
Well, they went shopping for an hour. They got a $160 bill, that much groceries, and they were in line, went to pay with their check, and the lady at the register was like, I'm sorry, we can't accept your check. There's an error on it. So they just did all this shopping. They're standing there like, great, what do? We don't have any other money. So someone behind them was like, I got it. Debit card, boom, $160 paid for it.
How badass is that?
Nice.
Isn't that amazing?
Now, what do I feel like today? Pork Chop's going to take this Monday Motivation story, and he's going to go try to write a check, and he's like, oh, no, I think I did this wrong. Would somebody mind paying for me?
Somebody behind me,
please. Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool if you were in a position? I mean, that's a lot of money, but maybe you had like $20. You're like, hey, don't worry, I've got it. Because I think we've been there where our cards get declined or we really don't have the money.
Right.
Or something like that happens. And wouldn't that be so cool if you imagine like that person made their day, like how much stress that just relieved from them.
That happened to me one time.
It did?
Yeah, so my card got declined at a Starbucks and someone behind me ended up paying for my Starbucks. But it's not even like I didn't have the money for it. It's because I was a brand new card. Because I lost my other one and I didn't activate it.
Of course.
But I'm like, this is so embarrassing.
That's livism at its best.
I swear I'm not poor. I just didn't activate it.
Sorry. That's your Monday Motivation. We're going to put these all together online and you'll be able to check them out on our station website. Great job, guys. That's some good stuff right there. Joe's Need to Know News. On Saturday morning, there was a shooting at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. The attacker killed 20 people and injured 26 more. A 21-year-old male was responsible. He was apprehended. He was apprehended shortly after and arrested. Now, the FBI, they're investigating this shooting as an act of domestic terrorism and a hate crime, but no charges have been filed yet. The suspect published a white nationalist manifesto online before the attacks went down with anti-immigration statements. He was saying a lot of different things, saying that, like, you know, he didn't want Mexicans to come to our country. And we'll get more details about it, but that's the early reporting on that. Then, less than 24 hours later on Saturday night at 1:05 a.m., there was another mass shooting, but this one happened in Dayton, Ohio, outside of a bar. 9 people there were killed, and at least 27 others were injured. The 24-year-old male shooter was killed by police within a minute of the first shots being fired. And I hate talking about this.
Gosh.
The one thing I will say, like, I saw some video of the Dayton thing, and these men and women, I know police, are all police perfect? No. Is anybody in the world perfect? No. There's always a bad apple here and there, but police get so much crap for all that they do wrong, according to people. But to see these men and women run towards this guy with a gun and to save, who knows how many other people could have been taken down within a minute, just, I don't have the courage to do that.
I mean, every day they put on that uniform, they're risking their lives for our safety, and it's incredible. It's so scary, too. Like, I know people that live in Dayton, Ohio, who go to, yeah, because there's Miami University, which is a college there.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, and so a lot of people from my hometown have gone to Miami University and then end up staying in Dayton. So it's just so crazy to think something like that can happen so close to where you're from.
It can happen anywhere, though, Liv. That's the thing that, we unfortunately live with. Now, do you know if I told you who Neil deGrasse Tyson, would you know who that is?
No, I know what the show Degrassi is.
No, nothing to do with that. This guy is an astrophysicist. I guarantee you've probably seen him before. I guarantee, if you Google real quick, Neil deGrasse Tyson, so you can see who I'm talking about. But I respect science, but I kind of, I guess, one of those people that was a little more upset by what he said. But it is factually true.
Oh, yeah.
He's
kind of
got like a little fro. Yeah. He tweeted out after these shootings happened. He said, in the past 48 hours, the U.S. horrifically lost 34 people to mass shootings. On average, across 48 hours, we lose 500 to medical errors, 300 to the flu, 250 to suicide, 200 to car accidents, 40 to homicide via handgun. Often our emotions respond more to spectacle than to data. Now, data-wise, he is correct. The shooting is a smaller number than everything else that happened in 48 hours that he presented, but I don't even think you can compare the two. Just because it's way more than just data. It's way more than that. And a lot of people were upset with him. Smash Mouth even chimed in saying, F you and your data.
I mean, just because other people die from other causes doesn't mean that those lives that we lost this weekend due to gun violence doesn't mean anything.
Now,
it's still as horrific and sad.
Yeah, and the president's supposed to speak today, so we might hear some more about that. But I know it seems like, well, what's that going to do, Joe? But thoughts and prayers. I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what else you can do, Liv. But I definitely pray for anybody involved going through a tough time like that, a tragedy, senseless. So thoughts and prayers, that's all I can send right now, and that's what I'm doing. Netflix, they introduced something that my wife is going to make me sign today, a co-watching contract for couples.
What?
Yeah, we got in an argument this weekend. I'm glad we're fighting about dumb stuff and not serious stuff.
Right.
It's like, oh, we're getting divorced.
Silver lining.
Yes, that's the positivity. No, they introduced a co-watching contract for couples who binge-watch television shows together. Now, in this contract, the two parties must agree to not fall asleep while watching. Well, I'm already violating that one. Also, Liv, when you're binge-watching a show, both parties can't view episodes without the other person present to also watch. Now, what if my wife is present with me and falls asleep and I want to keep on watching?
That's what my boyfriend does all of the time, Joel Daddy. I fall asleep anywhere, all of the time, just every day. And he will continue watching. And also, he is such a hypocrite because he gets so mad at me when I continue a show that he's probably already seen. But he'll watch shows without me all the time. And I'm like, you're such a hypocrite.
Let's see. What else? There's a few more there. You also, if you come across a spoiler alert, you cannot share it with the other person. You have to be quiet. I wouldn't ruin that. I'd be cool with that.
No,
but
see, I like things to get spoiled. I like to know what's going to happen before it happens. But my boyfriend and also like my best friend and my sister, all three of them refuse to spoil things for me. And I'm like, come on. I want to know.
No, I don't know if you saw this, Liv, because Liv the Web Girl loves sports. She's probably the biggest sports fan on the show. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago, does his name sound familiar? Nathan Patterson?
Yeah.
What do you know about
him? Is that a football player?
No. Okay. See, here, I'm glad I got something Liv didn't know about. Maybe you saw this pork chop. A couple of weeks ago, a guy named Nathan Patterson was just your typical baseball fan. He was hanging out at a Colorado Rockies game.
Uh-huh.
During his time at Coors Field, he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna warm up my arm. I want to see how fast I can throw.
Ah, yeah. I heard
okay,
the story.
Okay. This is a cool story. Now, he did like the fast pitch, and the radar, they thought it was broken at first because this guy threw 96 miles per hour.
Holy cow.
Back in high school, he used to play baseball. Then he got injured. And recently, he's been focusing on conditioning. And he's been playing like in a rec baseball league. So he's up there. He's throwing like 94, 95. And he hits 96 a couple of times. His friend, just like we would for Instagram or Snapchat, is recording the video. And they put it online. Somehow, some way, the people from the Oakland Athletics, so not Colorado Rockies, but the Oakland Athletics baseball team, saw it. 2 weeks later, he has signed now to a Major League Baseball contract.
No way!
This is like Rookie of the Year, guys.
Oh my gosh, it's literally a movie, but in real life. Wow, all with the power of like Instagram or Snapchat, wherever it was.
What we got to do now, like for us, we have to go to the Indianapolis Indians. We have to go there and do it. We have to send like Lenny Bree. I don't know if he plays any sports or not, but we got to send him out to like an Astros game or something. We have to see if one of us can go professional.
I definitely can't. I cannot. I'll tell you that right now. I have a lot of strengths. One of them is not my upper body.
Now, today, guys, is a special day. Finally wrapping up Joe's Need to Know News. National Underwear Day.
Hmm. Nice.
How many pairs of underwear do you think you guys own? Like, what's a normal number?
Oh,
like,
gosh.
10?
I don't even know where to begin. 10? I don't know. I feel like that's not a lot.
I wish I owned 10.
All right. I don't know. I don't want to talk about Liv's panties, but pork chop, let's do some bro underwear talk real quick. Do you have like whitey tidies?
No.
Do you have boxer briefs?
I wear boxer briefs during the day and boxers at night.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't wear anything
at night.
I
did that.
Wow, Liv. Boxer briefs are more supportive. You know what I mean? They keep things in place. I like that.
I will say, I'm not joking. I probably own 30 sports bras.
Wow.
All right, well, that is technically underwear for your body, but I was talking about your...
I know.
I forgot to say, wear chafe-free boxer briefs.
Oh, nice.
Did they realize
you
had such a...
going through?
It wicks out moisture and locks in cool air.
Nice. Those sound expensive.
Why am I stuck now thinking about pork chop chafing and having moisture issues? This is the worst way to wrap up Joe's Need to Know News ever. Hey, you can check it out online. We'll probably put a swipe up link too. Just give us a follow on Instagram, Radio Now AM Show. Happy happy Monday morning. Oh, yeah. It is Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show. Brand new bit we're doing here. It's called Song of the Day. And I want to make sure, because Porkchop, this is his baby. I don't want to poo-poo it. I want to make sure you understand how we actually do the game. Porkchop, explain Song of the Day.
So basically, we've chosen a category. And I'll just tell you, today, the category is songs about school.
Okay.
So now, Joe's chosen a song, Liv's chosen a song, and I chose a song. And we have to pitch it to you, the listener. We have to let you know why this should be the song of the day. And it literally, ultimately, will fall on you because you get to vote. And there's three different ways you can vote.
Yep, the ways to vote are texting the word song to 52140. That will give you all the songs to choose from. And then you make your selection. You can only vote one time for that. You can call us 833-563-2539. Or you can vote on our Twitter poll. Radio Now AM Show. These are limited times. You have like a 5-minute window to vote once we start doing the song of the day, and you are encouraged to participate as many ways as possible. So with no further delay, obviously the theme's school related, I would like to tell you all about my song and why we should be voting for that today. Well, kids going back to school in Indy today, listen, it's important that you learn a lot of things. This song might be one of the most iconic songs that not only teaches us and helps us learn about counting to numbers, like to certain ones, but also about the alphabet. And it's really easy. And I'll tell you what, this is one of the most iconic songs that whether you're a little kid all the way to a senior citizen, you are going to be singing along when you hear Jackson 5's ABC.
ABC, easy as
1, 2, 3, come on. If you want to hear Jackson 5's ABC, all you got to do is call 833-563-2539. You can text the word song, S-O-N-G, to this number, 52140. That's song to 52140. Or our Twitter poll is up right now, Radio Now AM Show. Liv, what do you have today?
Okay, so this song doesn't really have anything to do with school, but to me, when I hear it, I think of school. I don't know why. It just reminds me of like being a kid and being in the classroom and it's still kind of being like warm outside and fun to play outside. And also, I'm pretty sure the song is like about like back in the day when this like hot neighbor mom used to be in school and she was like a hot shot.
I feel like I know your song and you're really stretching.
Okay.
Yep, I knew it. It does mention school, I think, in there.
That is the biggest stretch.
It
reminds me of school. I don't know why. I had other options to go with, but that one I just had to do.
If you want to vote for that song, what is it? Stacey's Mom by Fountains of Wayne?
1985.
That's 1985
by Fountains of Wayne?
Bowling for Soup.
Okay, either way. That's why I need this crap in front of me. You can vote for that song by texting SONG, S-O-N-G, to 52140. You can call 833-563-2539 and tell us what song you want for it. Or go to our Twitter poll right now, Radio Now AM Show. Pork Chop, let's see what you're bringing up the rear with. What do you got for Song the Day, songs about school reminding you of it?
So I took a different approach. I'm more of a eat dessert first type of guy.
I can see that.
You know, before the main meal. So this song I chose, it's to help you remember on this first day of school. Just take every day by day. You know, don't go too fast because next thing you know, it'll be gone. So just remember and savor all the good times with you and your friends. That's why I chose Vitamin C, Graduation.
As we go on, we remember.
Oh, this is so terrible.
All the times we had together. And as our lives change, whatever.
If you want to hear Porkchop's Song of the Day, Vitamin C, Graduation, you can vote for that song by texting the word song, S-O-N-G, to 52140. You can call us right now. We have the phones ready to go. 833-563-2539 or vote on our Twitter poll, Radio Now AM Show. Okay, voting stops right now. Porkchop is going to tally up the song of the day. Let me remind you the songs that you got to listen to today. We all gave our reasons why. Let's start out with this one.
ABC.
That was for Joe. I said the Jackson 5 ABC. That's a great song that kind of reminds me of school. Then we've got another song over here. Let's see what we got. 1985, Liv the Web Girl said she just loves that song, and there is a line in there about school. It's a stretch, but you know what? That might get it.
It just reminds me of school. I don't know why. It just does.
All right, and Porkchop had Graduation by Vitamin C. I don't know if I love that song or hate it. I think it's so tacky, but we all know what that song is. So that being said, the votes have been calculated by you joining the Twitter poll, Radio Now AM show, by you calling in at 833-563-2539, and by you voting with your phone to 52140. You text the word song, S-O-N-G, to that. All those are combined, and then we analyze it, and then we have a winner. Porkchop, can you tell me who the winner is today for Song of the Day?
For the first time ever, coming in dead last place, me, Porkchop.
I could have told you that when you said Graduation was your song.
Honestly, I don't know. I like that song.
Nobody.
I feel like mine's the only one that actually has to do with school, but okay.
Nobody likes that song, by the way. Everybody says they do, but they don't. Okay, what do you... all right, then it's between me and Liv the Web Girl. What do we got today for Song of the Day? Songs about school. Who's the winner? Come on, teacher, give me an apple.
Coming in first place with over 50% of the votes.
Yeah.
Liv the Web Girl.
Liv the Web Girl, the big winner today for Song of the Day. 1985 is your song. Hey, you want to make your voice heard? Do it tomorrow around this time here on Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show. You might have seen this on Twitter, but phone number neighbor is one of the coolest things I've seen, but I've had terrible results for it. Now, what is it? Well, what you do is you text a message somebody that's your number neighbor. They're the person that's one digit off from your phone number. So let's say your number's 111-111-1112. Well, then you text the person that has maybe the 3 as the last number and the 0 as the last number. So above and below. Those are your neighbors, just like an apartment or a house. And people did this online and had awesome results. I asked everybody on the show over the weekend to do it. How did it go for everybody? Did you get any response from your phone number neighbor?
I did.
I did not. You got a
response? I didn't either. Okay.
Yes.
So
oh
what did you
gosh,
get? What did you
I'm
get?
I'm jealous.
So I don't know. I might have done this wrong, but I was just trying to be funny. So sometimes I'll text myself like memos to myself,
yeah,
right? And so I pretended to do that. I said, buy cat litter and deodorant. Except obviously I texted my number neighbor up by one. And they wrote back. They said, I think you have the wrong number. So I wrote back to them and said, oh, haha, sorry. That was supposed to be a memo sent to myself. Laughy face. Looks like you're my number neighbor. What's up? No response.
Oh,
man. See, what's with people? Like,
yeah.
Here's my thing, though. We're so used to these scams now online. Remember that girl sent me the boob photos?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like,
yeah,
you think if you respond to somebody, like, oh, I'm your number neighbor, if you don't know, you're
going to
get in trouble.
You probably think it's like fake or something. So I texted my number neighbor and I said, sup, number neighbor, put like the 100 emoji. Yeah, no response. They're probably like, this douchebag.
They probably are 100 and have no clue what's going on. Now listen, good thing for Twitter, there are some good results here, and we would like you to try that. It's where you text the person that is just the last number, higher or lower than yours, and maybe you can tweet us, Radio Now AM Show, like some screenshots of the results. Obviously block out your number, but I thought this was kind of funny. Here's somebody that got a good response from a number neighbor. You're my number neighbor. What's up?
You're what?
Number neighbor. We have the same number except the last digit is the next one down. You're my number neighbor.
There's a lot of weird people on this earth. This is a work phone. Don't text me again or I'll call the police.
Okay, you're definitely white. Have a good day. What about this one? This one involves some food right here. You're my number neighbor. What's up?
Hi, neighbor. I baked you a potato casserole to welcome you to the neighborhood.
Then there's like a photo of like a really good looking casserole. They respond with a potato casserole, like Homer Simpson just eyeing the food up.
Do you want it or not?
Of course I do. There we go. Okay. It says, what it do, number neighbor?
Who dis?
Your number neighbor. Your last digit, one less than mine. We basically fam.
Shoot. What's good? Male or female?
What up? I'm a guy. What about you?
Same, bro. How old is you?
19. And you?
Same, but my birthday's in 5 days.
Bro, mine's in 5 days too.
No way.
You lying.
Deadass, Area 51 cloned us.
I know, I can't wait till we storm them.
Counting down the days. I think we just best friends, aren't we?
Nah, man, we fam.
Now, this is a black guy because he's got like, the black strong emoji, like the fingers crossed. Then he's a white guy, so they have a black and a white fist like pounding each other.
I love that so much.
What's your name, bro?
Sean. What about you?
Mike. And that's it. Then the other one says F segregation. And it's like, wow. He's like, I F with you, Mike.
Dude, wait, that is so cool. See, that's what I dreamt my number neighbor was going to be like. And that's, I just didn't get a reply. They ghosted me.
Yeah, I think it's interesting some of the different responses we get on social media on there. Did you find a few of
these? Yeah, so I was scrolling through Twitter and found these that went viral, and I was crying. I was laughing so hard. So someone said, hey, number neighbor, we have the same phone number, except yours is one digit above mine. What's up? With the big smiley face emoji. And they just replied, the scariest picture I've ever seen in my life. It's a black and white old school photo of the Teletubbies that look like they're marching in a line with just like Arabic, like you can't even understand what it says, like Arabic symbols.
Even if that's like some good words, that looks scary.
It looks terrifying, especially with the Teletubbies. And they said, never doing this number neighbor stuff again.
Block that number.
Yeah, and then there was one more. This guy said, hey, number neighbor, smiley face. And he said, hi, who is this? And he said, just a little thing going around on the internet where people send a text to the person with the same number, except the last number is either one more or one less. So in this case, you're one above mine. And the guy responded and said, oh, cool. How old are you? LOL. And he responded and said, I'm 23. How about you? And he said, 13, crying laughing emoji face.
Uh-oh.
And said, so you're 23 and doing an internet challenge? And the guy tweeted it out and said, my number neighbor fried the stuff out of me, just straight.
See, that scares me. Not even being roasted, but like,
I love that.
I can just imagine, hey, what are you doing texting my 10-year-old daughter, you creep? Hey, if you have anything, please slide into our DMs with a screenshot. Radio Now AM Show. I'd love to see if you have any luck contacting your number neighbor.
Oh, I love trash.
It's Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show.
Who cares about this garbage?
60-year-old Kevin Spacey returned to the public eye Friday for a very bizarre reading of a poem at an Italian museum. The actor, whose career nosedived in 2017 amid sexual assault allegations, appeared at the National Roman Museum and read a poem about a wounded boxer who vowed to never give up. Here's a clip of him reading from Boxer at Rest by Italian poet Gabriele Tinti.
This is why you have dug me. The grave, you have opened it down there, far away, to conceal me so as not to have problems and not have to see. Fools! You have to suck the heart of a hero as long as it beats. You ought to know this. I shook the country, made the arenas vibrate, tore my opponents to shreds. I lit up the darkness, collected insults, compelled applause. They used me for their entertainment, fed on shoddy stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, so Tinti.
What did I just hear?
Yeah, I am unsure, honestly. Tinti, who wrote the poem, said that it was inspired by Spacey and invited the actor to read it. The poet tweeted, with the one and only Kevin Spacey. The museum said it was an honor to have Mr. Spacey here with us to celebrate the magnificent statue of the boxer. Dude, the only thing this tells me is that this guy is literally off of his rocker. The fact that there's people who are still celebrating him, I am wildly confused. Wildly. Anyways, moving on. Aaron Carter is being accused of trying to make a profit by selling a dog that he just adopted from a shelter. In an Instagram Live, Carter can be heard saying that a bulldog he recently got from the pound is for sale for $3,500.
If anybody wants to get my English bulldog, I rescue him, and then I find him homes. So if anybody wants to have my English bulldog, he's being sold for $3,500.
All right, can we get Aaron Carter a new cell phone? Jesus,
it sounds like
terrible.
He's recording it on a potato or something.
Don't insult a potato.
So Aaron now says that he was joking in the video, but the animal care center where Aaron got this dog is still investigating the situation. Now, this is the next thing I'm about to tell you. The biggest news I've ever heard in my entire life. It is some juicy scoop. Get ready. So Tyler Cameron, a.k.a. Tyler C., the recent runner-up on The Bachelorette, was spotted on a date with model Gigi Hadid. The two were spotted out on the town in Brooklyn just days after he slept over Hannah B's house, who was the bachelorette. So it was this past week, they had the whole like final rose ceremony and then like the tell-all. They have like a reunion. And Hannah B said that she would give Tyler C another chance and that they were going to go out for drinks that night. He was seen Friday morning leaving her place. Clearly, they spent the night together. Then it was realized this past weekend that Hadid and Cameron were following each other on Instagram. Gigi sent out a post of her followers list, which showed Tyler the Creator crossed out, and underneath was Tyler C. His name was circled with Hadid writing, "Love Tyler the Creator, but not important right now." Their date came 2 days after Cameron was spotted leaving Hannah's LA home on Friday morning, August 2nd, after the bachelorette invited him over to her house for drinks, which is clearly ended up he stayed the night. Right now, there's only one photo, and it is the back of both of them, of Gigi and Tyler C. But the photo was sent to some of the biggest professional celebrity gossipers in the biz. So we will see if more information comes out about the story. I saw the photo. I think it looks just like the two of them from behind. So we will see. Super juicy. Now, a court in Stockholm allowed ASAP Rocky to come home until the outcome of his assault trial is decided. He's been in Swedish jail for the past month, and a Swedish prosecutor asked for a 6-month prison sentence for the rapper over an alleged assault in Stockholm back in June. ASAP Rocky says he was defending himself in a street brawl. Prosecutors say in the case that Rocky and his pals did defend themselves, but they went overboard. So ASAP Rocky is allowed home right now for the time being, and he showed up at Kanye West's Sunday service to thank Kanye for helping him out of the Swedish custody, because Kanye was one of the ones that made a big push to put it on Trump's radar. He was also spotted talking to his old flame, Kendall Jenner. The two has dated on and off for a number of years. So the Swedish judge, will make his final decision on August 14th. So until then, ASAP is back home.
He's fine. He's home. They can't make him go back to Sweden.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm a little nervous for him.
Live the Web Girl, thank you so much for the garbage.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason we do Murder Monday is to bring attention to Crime Stoppers. They let you anonymously give tips on any unsolved crime that might be in your area. If you have a tip, call them. Save this number. 1-800-22-TIPS. Sorry, I messed that up already. 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. Live the Web Girl. What do you have today for Murder Monday?
Today, I'm talking about the case that involves the Coleman family. Dad, Chris, who was the head of security for Joyce Mayer, the famous televangelist, his wife, Sherry, and their two sons, Garrett, 11, and Gavin, 9. It's May 5th, 2009, at 6:42 a.m., and Chris Coleman calls his neighbor, Detective Sergeant Justin Barlow of the Columbia Police Department. Chris Coleman asks his neighbor to go to his house to check on his wife and two kids because he cannot reach them and he is still not home from the gym and he's getting nervous. Barlow remembers the threatening messages the family started receiving in November. They'd started with emails that accused evangelist Joyce Mayer of preaching bull crap and threatened not Mayer or her family, but the family of her bodyguard, Chris Coleman. One of them said, "I will kill them all while they sleep."
Wow.
The sender warned. Now letters have been showing up in the Coleman's mailbox. The most recent on April 27th. Closed with, "This is my last warning. Your worst nightmare is about to happen." Detective Barlow calls his coworkers from the police department to meet him at the Coleman residence. When the backup arrives, they notice an open window in the back of the house with a screen missing that goes to the basement. As they move through the house, clearing it along the way, they see messages sprayed on the walls in red spray paint, the color that resembles blood. In the kitchen, it read, "Punished. I am always watching." As they move up the stairs, they see another spray-painted sign on the wall that says, "You have paid." As the cops move into the bedroom, one sees a little boy in bed, half covered, looking like he's sleeping, except that his skin is grayish and mottled, and his limbs are rigid. Another cop goes into the master bedroom, and they see Chris Coleman's wife, Sherry, also dead. A third cop sees his second son dead in his bed, just like his brother. All three of them were strangled. As the cops come together on the second floor of the house, they decide to give Chris Coleman as little information as possible because they find him suspicious. He has now arrived back at the house and is sobbing in his front yard. They take him in for questioning and notice scratches on his arm and ask him where he got them. He kind of scrambles around and then says he scratched them because he was hitting an ambulance gurney out of frustration after he heard the news that his family was found dead. They start to find him even more suspicious and get information that a family friend that Chris has mentioned during the investigation, Tara Lentz, is more than just that. Chris met Tara Lentz through his wife. Tara and Sherry were best friends at Largo High School in Florida, and they even looked alike. They were pretty, dark hair, and had thin bodies. And Chris tells detectives Tara's personality was the same as Sherry's. She was never pushy about anything. He finally admits to little sexy phone flirtation, but says it was not an affair. He says, "I wouldn't do that to my kids. I've seen too many divorces and stuff." He says he saw Lentz at a Joyce Mayer conference in Florida, but doesn't mention that she joined him in conferences in Arizona and Hawaii. Nor does he mention the promise rings they wear when they're together or their talk of marrying in January 2010. When asked about finances, Chris tells the cops, "I make over $100,000 a year. Sherry don't have to work, but she enjoys it, so I let her work." Rather than acknowledge the severity of all of their debts, he mentions a trip that they're planning to take to Disneyland. He doesn't mention that he canceled it and booked a cruise instead to the Virgin Islands with Lentz instead. While Chris was being questioned, crime scene technicians scraped flakes of paint off the walls, used a black gel to capture footprint impressions, and bagged miscellaneous items including hair and fibers, two pistols, latex gloves, any shoestring or phone cord that might have been used to strangle the victims, two cell phones, a BlackBerry, and two laptop computers. Now the analysis begins, and almost immediately there's a breakthrough. The threats emailed November 14th to Joyce Mayer and her son Danny Mayer and to her bodyguard Chris Coleman were sent from Chris Coleman's laptop.
Okay, that looks kind of suspicious.
The squad still has no paint can and no paint-scattered clothing or a murder weapon. Then on a conference call on May 19th, a famous autopsy doctor tells them that Sherry and the boys, Garrett and Gavin, were killed likely before 3 a.m. and definitely before 5 a.m., before Chris had even left the house. The police immediately hang up and arrest Chris Coleman with murder. It's now August, and they are still looking for some vital pieces of evidence to get Chris Coleman. Cops start combing through months of charges, and that's when they find something. When we come back, I will tell you what they find, and I will dive deeper into the seemingly perfect marriage of Sherry and Chris Coleman.
Police searched Gacy's home and found the decomposed remains of three bodies in a dirt crawl space under the house.
Tomorrow marks 30 years since Johnny Gosch disappeared on his paper route.
I just killed my mom and my sister.
The city is preoccupied with the killer who in one note signed himself the Son of Sam.
The East Area Rapist, just when you thought the story couldn't get any worse.
Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded.
We have an individual who apparently has the uncontrollable desire to kill.
It's Murder Monday. Listener discretion is advised.
We're talking about the Coleman family today for Murder Monday here on Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show. We're putting photos up right now as we speak. You'll be able to see them if you give us a follow on our Instagram, Radio Now AM Show. All right, Live the Web Girl, you're talking about the Coleman family.
Yes, when I left off, I said that it's now August and they are still looking for some vital pieces of evidence to get Chris Coleman. Cops start combing through months of credit card charges. They notice a purchase for $377 made February 9th, 2009 at a Handyman True Value hardware store. They find out that he bought some spray paint. The spray paint color was Rust-Oleum and Apple Red, the color that was sprayed all over their house the day that his wife and two kids were murdered. As the investigation went on, more and more neighbors and friends of the family were coming forward with disturbing details of Chris and Sherry Coleman's marriage. Everyone said that from the outside, they seemed perfect, but every now and then, Sherry would open up to her peers about the actual despair that went on during their marriage. They got married 3 months after dating because Sherry got pregnant. And Chris was raised in a very religious family. Both his dad and his mom were preachers at a non-denominational Christian church, and they never approved of Sherry, which caused stress on their marriage. Sherry once told a friend how Chris was never affectionate to her and that he never hugged his children either. He was supportive about them with sports, but it never went deeper than that. Sherry even told a friend, "If I die or anything happens to me, Chris did it." Another friend of Sherry remembers of a time when she had mentioned being physically abused by her husband. Not only did they have financial stress, but they were not intimate, which was mentioned by some of the couple's friends. Chris had the secret affair with Sherry's old best friend. So the motive for him to murder his wife and family was all there. All of these testimonies come up in the actual trial. And then there is the most chilling evidence. Photos that show Sherry's naked body lying face down, her head hanging off the edge of a round bed, dark hair tangled across her face, fair skin tinted gray and blotched a dark purplish red on the underside where the blood pool collected after her heart stopped.
Ugh, gross.
In the next photograph, she's been rolled over and her bent leg is mid-air stiff with rigor mortis. Two marks sliced red across her neck, probably because she was strangled so stiffly, but she was trying to fight it. She had a black eye, and according to a forensic pathologist, it was caused by direct trauma. The little boys have similar marks on their bodies, and their skin is grayish. One of the investigators said the skin felt thick, like dinosaur skin, at a science center exhibit. Long, dark hair lies across Gavin's armpit, suggesting that he was strangled second, and strands of his mother's hair was caught by his body. The violent was intimate and by someone who was close to the victims. DNA was pulled from underneath Sherry's nails. They instantly remembered the scratch marks that were on the forearms of Chris Coleman the morning that his family was found dead, and remember the hesitation in his voice when he tried to come up with an explanation of what happened. There wasn't much DNA to collect underneath her nails, so it couldn't be identically matched to anyone, but they can tell it came from an older male that would match a man just like Chris Coleman. With all of this evidence and all of the motives, Chris Coleman is sentenced to 3 life terms for all 3 murders without the possibility of parole. He remains in jail today and claims to be a changed man. He says he's followed the footsteps of his parents and has started preaching in jail and spreading the word of the Bible.
Seems like everybody does that when they go to jail. They all change their ways and they all start preaching the word.
I'm sorry, but if you can do that to your own wife,
your kids,
your own children, I don't care how much change you have. You need to stay in jail for the rest of your life.
All right, head on over to our Instagram, Radio Now AM Show, and you can see some of the pictures that Liv the Web Girl mentioned. That was Murder Monday here on Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show. Back to school for kids, at least, that listen to us in Indianapolis, Indiana on Radio Now 100.9. Kids in Houston, Texas, they don't have to go back to school for a little bit, so this little warning, summer's almost over for you, but I wanted to put Pork Chop and Liv the Web Girl to the test this morning. Little game called Name That School. I'm going to give you a question. I want you to write down your answer. I'll have producer Pork Chop keep score here, and so you both could get the same question right. Best out of five is the smartest student here at Joe in the Radio Now Morning Show Elementary School. Maybe middle school. You guys are middle school level.
Oh, wow. We've graduated.
I am proud of you. You're moving on up. First question. Write it down. Let me know when you're in. What actor, now rapper, went to Degrassi High School?
Oh.
Liv's showing me an answer. Pork Chop is also showing me an answer, which is correct. Drake.
Yeah.
When he's on the TV show Degrassi.
How could you forget that?
I never watched the show.
You didn't? I used to watch it when I was a little kid. I would watch it when I was in probably fourth grade or so with my friend. We'd watch it late night because it was kind of bad.
I did not watch it.
Okay, for this next Name That School question, give me three of the seven well-known students that went to Bayside High School, Saved by the Bells, what it was. Just any three of the main characters everybody would know. Students. Three of the students.
See the bus fly by. It's all right, because I'm saved by the bell.
Oh, my God.
Liv is thinking.
Hold on. Give me.
Pork Chop. I've seen his answer. He's right.
Oh, wait. I got it.
All right. Liv the Web Girl. AC.
AC Slater.
Screech. And Jesse. That is also correct.
What is the main guy? The hot guy's name?
Zach Morris.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah. I also said Lisa Turtle.
Yeah, Lisa Turtle. Often that's the one that's forgotten, but Lisa Turtle, she's a true MVP. Not too bad, guys. All right, how about this one? This is the high school where Mean Girls took place, right down the high school.
Oh, shoot.
I have no idea.
Well, I do know. I should know this.
Give me something. Something's better than nothing. This could be a chance to take the lead in the game. I need you to give me the high school where Mean Girls took place, the movie, not the actual one. All right, Pork Chop's got an answer, which is wrong as can be. Liv, quit looking at his answer.
I feel like it's R something high school.
Coming down in three?
That's my guess. R something high school.
No. North Shore High School.
North Shore!
All right.
Dang it.
All right. Still 2-2. Here we go. Okay. Next question. What high school did Corey, Sean, and Topanga go to?
Not a chance I know this.
How do you not know this?
Not
one of the classic shows of all
chance.
Time. Pork Chop, your chance
you know what,
to
though?
Take the lead.
You know the picture of the school that they show in the TV show? That's an actual school in Cincinnati, Ohio, where I'm from.
Which does us no good. At least you know good because you're getting no points. But thanks for that fun fact. I need a guess.
Okay, I'm going to
Liv.
Say.
Boy Meets World High School.
I'm going to say Ben Franklin High School.
Maybe kind of close. John Adams High School.
Dang it. I knew it was a president, but I just couldn't think of which one.
Ben Franklin was a president?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. We need to send Liv back to school immediately.
Pretty sure he's
I'm
an inventor.
Unsure.
All right. Question five. Will this be our final deciding one? We'll see. Harry Potter attended this school.
Hogwarts. I'm sorry.
I would have said the same thing.
Wow, Liv. Giving Pork Chop and you both a point. Congratulations.
I cheated in high school.
Yeah, I could see sending Liv back to detention. All right, we're going to the extra rounds here. Let's see. These are going to get harder. What high school did these two I'm talking about, Danny and Sandy, go to?
Ooh, okay.
What high school did they go to? I'll even give you the movie. Grease.
I know the movie.
Well, you guys are looking like you're about to either fart or have diarrhea.
I'm going to say something that I answered from the other one.
Okay. I got
Show
something.
Me your
I
answer,
I don't
Liv.
Think it's right.
Liv wrote down a little higher, please. What does that say?
Rosedale High. No, I know it's not right.
And Pork Chop Runs again wrote Sunnyside. He must want an egg. No.
He's just hungry.
It just sounds like a good high school name. Sunnyside. It was
Sunnyside?
Sunnyside. It, over Easy High. No, it was Rydell High School.
Oh. I knew. I was close. Rosedale, Rydell.
Yeah, that was close.
All right. I only have two left, so we have to change this up. Still tied 2-2. What famous high school movie created the catchphrase, as if? Write it down. Do not yell it loud, but...
No idea.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Right. I guess Sunnyside again.
Yeah.
Pork Chop, what's your guess?
Sunnyside.
As if.
Liv, tell us the answer.
Clueless. Duh.
Yep. Liv's the winner.
Gosh.
The one life for sure. Dude, that was like one of the first movies Paul Rudd was in. He was smoking.
Yeah, that movie is a classic.
Good job, Liv.
I'm gonna tell you one time.
Just killing it today with the song of the day win earlier, and now the back to school win. Is there anything this girl can't do?
She doesn't
girl
know
power.
The, know the presidents.
Well, there's that. It's Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show. Hey, good morning. I hope you're having yourself a wonderful day. It's Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show. You got myself, Joe, Liv the Web Girl, producer Pork Chop, and our technical producer, Lenny Bree. This is a story that I would love to hear from you, whether you got a whole gaggle of kids, you're like the Duggars part two, or maybe you're the opposite end and you got nothing, because it's an interesting conversation. 833-563-2539. I'm going to do my best to censor this and not swear, so let me get the dub button ready in case I do. A mom went on a tirade. She went on a rant after she went to Disney World and she took her kid there. It was a vacation they went on. And now she's calling out, especially millennials that don't have kids, parentless people that go to Disneyland or Disney World by themselves. She's saying, if you don't have kids, you should not be there. Not for the obvious reason, thinking like, oh, are they child predators or creeps? Like, that might be something people would say. But they're saying that they're ruining the trip. Let me explain what she wrote on a Facebook post. She says, it pees me off to no end when I see childrenless couples without at Disney World. What? Disney World is a family amusement park, yet these immature millennials throw away their money on useless crap. They have no idea the joy and happiness it is to mothers who buy their babies treats and toys. They will never experience the exhaustion that is to chase a three-year-old around getting stares and people assuming that you're a bad mother. This C word, oh my gosh, was wearing some very slooty clothing, including shorts that were way too short, buying a Mickey Mouse pretzel in Aiden, that's I guess her kid, wanted to buy one, but the line was very long, and I said, we'll do it later, honey. And this broke his poor little heart, and he cried. I wanted to take that blanking pretzel from that tramp. Thanks, B-word. You made my son cry. Disney World is for children. People without children need to be banned. A lot of angry faces. Mothers with children should be allowed to skip all the lines. You have no blanking idea what it's like to have to stand in line for 3 hours with a cranky kid that's exhausted. I can't take it anymore. So pretty much she's saying that people like if Liv the Web Girl and her boyfriend Jewel Daddy went to Disneyland or Disney World, they should not be there. They are ruining it. It's making it hard for moms out there and dads out there taking the little kiddos around town. Do they have a point? I mean, is Disney World or Disneyland just for a family? My parents never took me as a kid. I think one day when I have a family, if I'm blessed to do that, I would definitely like to take my kiddos when they can remember it to Disneyland or Disney World. But me personally, I have no dream of going now with my wife just as a young couple. Now, I know a lot of people do that, and Disneyland and Disney World also go after young couples.
Right. Here's my thing. I have two separate things. One, when it is a place that is that big, that worldwide recognized,
yeah,
you can't be like, oh, you can't go here. You can't go here. Like, girl, suck it up. You should have known what you were going into when you went to Disney World, one of the biggest places in the entire world, like most famous talked about places literally in the entire world. You should have known what you were getting yourself into. Two, I think it's very bizarre and weird when grown adults with no kids are obsessed with Disney. Like, I used to work with this girl when I was in college who had, like, a Disney tattoo. She had a Disney World backpack. She had, like, a Disney World themed bedroom. And she was, like, 22 at the time, or 23 at the time. She wanted to get engaged at Disney World. She was running the Disney World Marathon. She was just obsessed with Disney. And I'm like, that's really bizarre. You're 23
so
years
wait,
old.
So wait, do you agree with this woman in saying that like you should only go if you got kids?
No, I don't agree with her. I don't think you can put like a ban on something like that. But I do just think it's very creepy when people are like overly obsessed.
833-563-2539. Do you agree with this mom that went on this rant saying, look, you should not be at Disney World or Disneyland or pretty much any other, I guess, family kind of a place like destination if you don't have kids?
If she can say that, then there should not be kids at nice restaurants.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to say that.
We went nuclear on this one. Hey, Miranda, thanks for calling in this morning at 833-563-2539. What'd you want to say?
Good morning, guys. No, I just got back from Disney World literally last week for the first time since I was a kid. Granted, I do have a two-year-old, but my thing is I kind of got irritated when she was like, oh, well, it's just so terrible waiting in three-hour lines. You should be able to skip the line because our kid's cranky. Okay, well, if your kid's cranky, then clearly you're forcing them to be there, for one. And two, I mean, I don't know. They sell alcohol at Disney World.
Yeah, why are you mad? Go get your drink on.
I don't really know what to tell you if you're really that pissed off that other people want to enjoy their life. I am a huge Disney fan. I'm 23 years old, and Disney is life, man. So it was awesome for me, not only for my kid, but for me as well, to be able to go and experience it.
Miranda, do you have that D4L tattoo, Disney for Life tattoo?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, wait, Miranda does have some limits. Hey, let's go to Sarah this morning, 833-563-2539. Hey, Sarah, you got five kids. What do you think?
I take my kids every year to Disney, literally every year. And if she didn't want to wait in line, she shouldn't have gone to Disney, because that's all it is lines and waiting and fun. And it makes it worth it, period, to see your kids be happy. It's nobody else's fault that she didn't want to wait in line for that pretzel for her child.
So you'd have no problem, Sarah, if me and my wife, Lindsay, we're childless. We don't have a family yet. Would you care if we came there and just did our couple stuff?
Nope. I've been there, me and my husband, by myself, too.
All right, Sarah, thank you for calling in this morning at 833-563-2539. I really would like to hear both sides and not just one side of what we're getting now. I would like to hear from a mom or a dad who says, yeah, keep these childless people out of there.
This woman is so annoying to me, and she's the parents that I actually hate. I hate. There should not be special treatment just because your kid is cranky. How about you take it back to the hotel and have them take a nap? Like, it's not someone else's fault because your kid's cranky.
Sarah, hey, what's going on? You're on Joe on the Radio Now Morning Show. Do you agree with this mom that went on a rant saying, listen, if you don't got kids, don't be coming to Disneyland or Disney World?
No, I highly disagree. I feel like, because I'm a mother of a one-year-old that's going to be two this year, and I would not take him to Disney World for the simple fact that he would not sit still for 3 hours in a line.
How old do you think a kid needs to be? Because these kids were, this one kid, this woman said her son Aiden was three. That, to me, that sounds kind of young. I would assume like maybe 8 to 10, they can really appreciate it at that age.
Yeah, I feel like at that age, they'd be able to remember it, and maybe, you know, whenever they're older. But I feel like once they're two or three, they're not going to remember it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. Hey, thank you for calling in. Madison, oh, let's get to somebody that actually had some feet on the ground there. You worked at Disney, is that right?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good. You just sound happy like you'd work at Disney. Madison, all right, what do you think about this? I'd like your opinion.
So, obviously, I'm a huge advocate for Disney World because I worked there on two different occasions with the Disney College Program. But I think it's a place that is just supposed to bring people together. And I think whether you have kids or not, it's nostalgic once you go there.
Yeah.
And it just is supposed to make you happy. And like the last caller said, like, there's alcohol. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's geared towards adults. So,
right.
I don't know. And I have a special needs brother, and we stand in line, you know, for rides. So I think that part's a little silly to say, but.
All right. Well, Madison, thank you for calling in. Do you get hookup on tickets still?
I have friends that work there that can get the hookup, but I don't.
All right, Madison, thank you for calling in. Let's wrap it up with Amy. And by the way, I want to put this up on our Facebook page to search for Radio Now 100.9 or Radio Now 92.1 if you're in Houston, because I definitely want everybody to have a chance to contribute to this. Amy, I want to talk to you, though, real quick. Amy, what do you think here about this mom going on a rant? She said, listen, unless you have a family and kids, don't ruin it for everybody else by going there if you're just like a young couple or people that don't have kids.
Well, I think, you know, you're not going to necessarily ruin it by being there at all. But I think what can happen, what I saw, is you have these super experienced Disney people that are ruining the magic of the children who really want to see their favorite character. And when their eyes light up, that's what it's all about. And sometimes when you're standing in these long lines, you have a lot of adults talking about their Disney knowledge, and it really blows their cover, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so maybe you can't be that into it or you'll ruin it for the kiddos. All right, Amy, thank you for calling in this morning. I think it's interesting. Real quick, have you ever been to Disneyland or Disney World Pork Chop?
Yes.
Oh, wait, sorry, your mic, go ahead. What?
Yeah, I was 3 years old.
Okay, do you even remember it?
I do.
Wow, Live the Web Girl, you ever been?
Yeah, I didn't go until I was in high school for a dance competition.
All right, I'm the only one that hasn't went. So if there's a family listening that needs an adult to go with, I'll drink with you. Take it to our Facebook page and let us know what you think. Time to do a little game we call What the Spell. Live the Web Girl has got some words here, and
yes,
she's going to make fun of me, I mean test me, with my spelling ability. But today we're doing a little bit different. We're going to go up against somebody, which could be my brother from another mother, Joseph. Hey, hello.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm a little nervous, man. Are you ready for this spelling competition, Joseph versus Joe?
Yes, sir. I hope y'all not trying to twist me up.
Oh, dude, that is exactly what I'm trying to do. But just know, guys, I'm laughing with you, not at you.
All right, so I guess you'll give us a word, and then I guess we'll take a turn with each word. Is that how you want to do it?
Yeah, so like I'll tell you a word. Joe, you have to spell it. If you get it right or wrong, that depends your score. We'll move on to the next word. So
all
kind
right,
of like spelling bee
I'll
style.
Go first, Joseph. So here we go. Give me the word, Liz.
All right.
Okay, so Radio Joe.
Radio Joe.
How do you spell playwright?
P-L-A-Y-R-I-T-E. Playwright.
Nope.
Oh, look at Joseph in the background saying no. How do you spell it?
It's P-L-A-Y-W-R-I-G-H-T.
Oh, man. All right. Well, Joseph, your chance to take the lead. Listen closely. Here's your word.
All right. Caller Joseph, your word is Pharaoh.
Pharaoh?
Yep.
F-A-R-R-O-W?
Nope. Incorrect.
Maybe you should have used it in a sentence, like the Pharaoh.
F-A-R-O-A-A?
Okay, yeah, so an Egyptian pharaoh. Will you spell that?
Too late. I'm not giving it to Joseph.
What?
We're moving on.
That was my fault. I didn't use it in a sentence.
Sorry, Joseph.
Put both of them up. They both spelled right.
Hey, don't be mad at me. Be mad at Liv.
In a sentence.
Caller Joseph, I'm sorry.
Be
that
mad
was
at
my
Liv.
Fault.
All right,
and
come
Joe's
on.
Being a sore loser. Okay.
Come on, best out of three. Give me my second word.
12th. Like, I
12th place?
I skied in the competition, and I got 12th place.
All right, that is T-W-E-L-E-T-H, 12th.
No, you are wrong. That is T-W-E-L-F-T-H.
Okay, well, give Joseph his second word. Maybe he can get it right if you use it in a sentence.
Joseph. You're gonna embarrass yourself if you don't win. Your word is embarrass.
E-M-B-A-R-A-S-S.
Nope, you missed an R. It's E-M-B-A-R-R-A-S-S. You said one R.
Double R.
So right now it is goose egg to goose egg.
All right, give me my third one. I want to get on the board.
Radio Joe, accommodate. I had guests over and I had to accommodate to their needs.
Accommodate.
Wait, no. Joseph, caller. That was not for you. That was for Radio Joe.
All right. I didn't even hear what you said. Hold
okay.
on, Joseph. Accommodate. E-C-C-O-M-I-N-D-A-T-A. T-E.
That, no. A, Joe. It starts with an A.
I said A.
You said E.
Oh, my God. I think I'm tired. Okay.
Okay. Now, for you, caller Joseph, we have cemetery.
C-E-M-E-T-A-R-Y.
That is incorrect. It's C-E-M-E-T-E-R-Y. Joe, Radio Joe?
Yes.
Grateful. Spell grateful. I am grateful for this day.
It is G-R-E-A-T-F-U-L. Grateful.
That is incorrect. Oh, my word. Okay.
Come on,
now,
Caller
Joe.
Caller
Joe. Please get on the board.
I'll do my best.
Ready? Separate.
S-E-P-E-R-A-T-E.
And we end the game in a 0-0 tie.
That was the most embarrassing showing of a spelling bee I have ever seen in my life.
Joseph, you sounded like you knew what you were doing, at least way better than me. All right, I'm sorry that we sucked, and I think everybody thinks we're absolutely stupid.
Oh, I love trash.
It's Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show.
Who cares about this garbage?
Heidi Klum married musician Tom Collins for the second time abroad, a luxury boat in Capri, Italy, over the weekend. The model and Tokyo Hotel guitarist wed in a lavish celebration abroad, a huge cruiser under a canopy draped with pink and white flowers on Saturday. Her husband's twin brother, Bill, who's a lead singer of Tokyo Hotel, officiated the wedding, and the couple secretly got married in July after getting engaged in December. Brody Jenner and Caitlyn Carter have split 1 year after their wedding ceremony in Indonesia. The reality star's rep released a statement saying the two have decided to amicably separate. He added they love and respect one another and know that this is the best decision for their relationship moving forward. Sources say despite the couple having a wedding ceremony, it was never official because they never got a marriage license in the U.S. And the pair announced their engagement in 2016 after dating. Ed Sheeran's Divide tour is now the highest grossing tour ever.
Dang.
Ever, ever, ever.
Take that.
Following his Thursday night show in Hanover, Germany, the Divide tour has now grossed $736.7 million. The tour began on March 13, 2017, and will wrap up on August 26. U2 held the previous record for the highest grossing tour with $735.4 million. It took U2 760 days to accomplish the feat, while Sheeran will be out for 893 days on tour.
That is insane, just the amount of touring that all those guys did.
Unreal. Lily Reinhart took to Instagram on Saturday night to post a love poem for her boyfriend and Riverdale co-star Cole Sprouse for his 27th birthday, more than a week after they seemingly debunked split rumors. She said, "I tried to find a poem that I could send to you because my words were failing me," the actress wrote, alongside a photo of the actor smoking while sitting at a table. "But I searched and found nothing that did you justice. All of these low poems can't get it right. No one else's words could ever fit it. They haven't known the fortune it is to love you." Sappy nighttime birthday poem for at Cole Sprouse. So Lily, who's 22, also trolled Cole by posting on her Instagram story a photo of him with his twin brother, Dylan Sprouse, at the March premiere of her Bose film, 5 Feet Apart. And Cole is mostly cropped out of the pic, so it's like funny. She's basically just like a picture of Dylan wishing her boyfriend a happy birthday. And 2 weeks ago, it was all over the internet that this couple had split, but they both took to Instagram a week after those rumors came out and basically said, "Don't believe everything you see on the internet. People don't know anything about our relationship." So the couple is still going strong.
Live the Web Girl with the garbage. Thank you so much. It is Joe in the Radio Now Morning Show, and let's talk about some lion lovers. What did a love interest lie to you about? Now, this could have been somebody that you just started dating, or it could have been more serious. It could have been a boyfriend or a girlfriend or maybe an actual husband or wife. 833-563-2539. I'd really appreciate it if you would pick up the phone and call us and share that. If you need to be anonymous, so be it. The thing that one in four people have lied about to their love interest was about their debt. And I feel like that's becoming increasingly more of a thing now, because not that debt hasn't been around since the beginning of time, but especially with student loans, I feel like the past 10, 20, 30 years, that's where it's really ratcheted up and gotten even bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. I feel like I know so many people who are in debt because of student loans. But even besides that, wasn't there just a study done, like we talked about last week, that millennials are in debt because they're spending so much money going to these expensive and lavish music festivals?
Now, how would you feel? Or actually, let me even take it before I ask you how you feel, Liv. maybe you already have. Has Jewel Daddy, who's your boyfriend for over a year now, has he lied to you about anything? Like, including debt, like one in four people? Because obviously you're with him.
I honestly do not think he's lied to me about it. I'm like racking my brain about it. And he has not lied about anything. He's been super upfront about everything. Like, even from our first day, I remember him telling me stuff, and I'm like, dang, like, that's just like very honest and open. So I don't think he's ever lied to me. Maybe, you know, when we very first started dating, he made it seem like he didn't like smoke cigarettes as much as he did, but he's quit.
Okay,
he like quit for me.
That's a good example, though. Maybe the love interest you like lied. It's like, oh, I don't smoke, but they do smoke. And that could be a deal breaker for people.
And he did. I knew he did. But I think it was just like he didn't tell me, obviously, on our first date as much as it was. But he has quit since.
I'm wondering if that's one example is the big one. One out of four is debt. You just brought up smoking, though. But maybe they're like, oh, yeah, I got my own place. In reality, they like live in their mom's basement. Like, that could be a deal breaker. And that's an example of a love interest lying to you.
I had an ex that lied to me so much throughout our relationship. And I didn't find things out until like months and almost like a year later. I had a boyfriend who told me that he was Spanish. So his dad was from Spain, born and raised in Spain, then came over to America because it's very obvious that he is a different ethnicity.
Yeah.
Turns out his dad was from, I think, Ecuador.
Okay.
But he was like so ashamed about it that he lied to me about
sad.
It. I'm not joking. For at least 10 months of our relationship, he lied to me. And also he told me, too, that his like dad was some like chef, like high-end chef, because he's like estranged. He doesn't have a relationship with him anymore. Turns out he was like a dishwasher at a restaurant, which there's nothing wrong with that. But he lied to me for like half of our relationship about it because he was so ashamed about it, which I thought was so sad.
They go on to say in this, according to a recent survey, many people feel the need to hide their outstanding debts for potential partners in love interests. The survey found that about a quarter of 2,000 people responding have lied to a new partner about their level of debt. It also revealed that many adults are deceptive about their financial situation in general. I think that's a bad thing because at first you don't want to scare somebody away, but eventually if you're getting deeper and deeper into that, then you start like maybe going to the next level with an engagement. I think you kind of want to know, right, like where they're at financially, like, you know, how much money you're making, what are you doing? Not that you judge somebody on whether they make $30,000 or $300,000 a year, but to have an idea, like, I don't know, isn't that kind of a bad deceiving point?
Right. I mean, yeah, I think that's true, but also you... Did your wife lie to you about her debt? Because I know you
didn't know. Looking back, no. My wife did not lie or deceive me, but she definitely didn't say, hey, here's how much student loan debt I have. She didn't come out and tell me.
She wasn't super open about it.
No, and that's one thing I would encourage people. I would still love somebody to love them, regardless if they have zero debt or $100,000 in debt or more or less. But I think it's an important thing to talk about. But so that case, though, she didn't lie to me, Liv. But I'm wondering, what did a love interest, doesn't have to be debt-related, lie to you about? We'll kick it off with Robert, 833-563-2539. Robert, what was the lie?
The lie was she wasn't seeing anybody. I was in the military, deployed for 3 years, come home. She's 3 months pregnant.
Oh, wait a minute. How's that happen?
That's what I said. But, you know, you only get a few moments to Skype once a week. So every time I Skyped her, there was always like a tool bag in the background or I could see a dude's shoes on the floor. And every time asked about it, oh, no, I'm not seeing anybody. That's my brother's stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Wow, Robert. First of all, thank you for serving our country. I'm sorry that you had such a terrible person that would do that while you were away.
Oh, to make matters even worse, it was with a guy in the National Guard.
Oh, jeez. Man.
I mean, this story just has layers. That is awful.
Robert, thank you for your service, man. I'm sorry you went through that. 833-563-2539. For me right there, that's way worse than finding out somebody lied to me about their financial situation. What did a love interest lie to you about? Monique, thanks for calling in to Joe on the Radio Now Morning Show. What was the lie they told you?
They lied about their entire identity.
No way. What happened?
I just so happened to be helping him clean, and there were like four different types of IDs and social security cards. I literally had to call my aunt, who's a police officer, and have her run every last one of them to figure out who he was. And he was a scammer.
Wait a minute.
Did he scam any money from you?
No. I pick up on those quick. But he was scamming some old lady because I asked him what he did for work.
and he tried to say he sell insurance. Well, that's what he was doing. He was scamming a lot of elderly people out of money, and they have been trying to catch him.
So, Monique, you're a hero. You caught this lion turd.
It was crazy. I was like, okay, I'm just going to act like I didn't see these. And then I took them all, and I took them with me.
Oh, my gosh.
Sent them to my aunt, and she ran every last one of them. And the last ID was who he really was.
Now, I mean, is that not the worst person in the entire world? Not only a scam artist, but scamming old people?
Yes, I felt so. I was like, oh, my God, I could kill him right now. This is crazy.
Monique, what if he would have been like a secret agent, though, and you blew his cover?
No.
Uh-uh. you got luck in this one, Monique.
His place wasn't nice enough for that, probably.
We appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in this morning to Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy. It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy. It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy of the day.
Gotta go to my home state of Michigan for today's Dummy of the Day. A man tried burning weeds in his front yard. I'm kind of doing that because I rent a house right now and live. It does not come with a weed whacker. The landlord did provide a lawnmower, but there's a lot of weeds. You know, they go along the fence. Right. They go along the front bushes and the sidewalk. Like, it's gotten so bad. I don't know if you've seen it yet or not. There's bricks going up to the entrance of the house we're in, and it's starting to cover it up.
Oh, you can
barely see the bricks.
Don't be that neighbor.
I know. I'm going to have to go and buy a weed whacker or do what this dummy did. This guy in Michigan tried to get rid of the weeds that were near his trailer. He tried to set them on fire with a blowtorch.
Where do you even get a blowtorch? I'm sorry, what?
Well, I think blowtorches aren't too hard to get. Now, a flamethrower, those are harder, but he had a blowtorch. I don't know if it was from work or what, but he ended up accidentally setting several trailer homes on fire in his trailer park. Firefighters were called after a witness say that she, this is too funny, after her shed caught on fire. Her she shed?
Oh, her she shed,
Was the witness named Cheryl? Cheryl, she shed is burnt, somebody.
I was going into this story like, this guy's genius. Of course, just burn them with like a little lighter. Burn the plants. That takes care of everything. You don't have to buy an expensive weed whacker. I mean, using a blowtorch, that guy's an idiot.
It took 20 minutes for the fire to get put out. The entire trailer park had to be evacuated by firefighters because there was a propane tank leak nearby. Three trailer homes were damaged in the fire. It isn't known if the man's going to face any charges. That guy right there. Bless his heart. Here's your dummy of the day here on Joe and the Radio Now Morning Show. 833-563-2539. Let's see how well you know America. I want you to call in right now, and I'll just take like three callers. 833-563-2539. What do you think is the most popular sandwich in America? Now, while I'm waiting for the first couple of calls to come in, 833-563-2539, I will let you know that this is a surprising answer, that this one, out of all the people that it surveyed, had 80% of people say this. Yes, this is the most popular sandwich in the good old U.S. of A. Yeah, I suppose you can guess. 833-563-2539. I'm going to get some calls too, but live the web, girl. Hopefully you don't spoil it unless you're really good. What is it?
Is it the club?
Is it the club? A classic sandwich. I'll tell you right now, the club, I'll get to it, did not even make the top five.
What?
Yes, the club sandwich, which is a classic, did not make it. Let's go to Chris this morning. Hey, Chris, what do you think is the most popular sandwich in America?
I think it would be America's best grilled cheese.
You think grilled cheese is the best sandwich?
I really do, because everybody loves a good grilled cheese sandwich.
Liv, do you like a good grilled cheese sandwich?
I can't eat it because I'm lactose intolerant and gluten intolerant, but I wish I could eat it. If I could, I would eat one every single day of my life.
I say turkey and roast beef.
All right, Chris, hey, hold on. I want to talk to Chris real quick. Guess what?
What?
You're right. That is America's most popular sandwich. 79% of people love themselves some grilled cheese.
That's what I was going to guess, but then I was like, maybe it's like something I don't expect. But grilled cheeses are so good. They are perfect. They're kind of savory and like salty, and they're not super extra or over the top, but you can make them that way if you want it.
Thank you,
Chris. The ingredients are cheap.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. In Indiana, there's the Indiana State Fair going on right now, and at the Dairy Bar, not barn, Dairy Bar, they have, I forget what it is, but I had it last year, one of the best tasting grilled cheeses of my life. I could have ate that, and then I could have been struck down dead, and I would have been okay with how my life ended, because that's how good it is.
Porkchop, do you like grilled cheeses? You strike me as someone who doesn't.
What? I love grilled
cheese.
Guys,
the cheese kind of backs me up. I don't like it.
No, are you kidding me? As a kid, that's like all I ordered.
Okay, so here's the thing. Do you guys think it's better with fancy cheeses, or do you think, you know, just the all-American Kraft single plastic cheese?
Oh, Kraft it up. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't mind the other stuff, but Kraft cheese, I mean, that's what a grilled cheese is supposed to be. It's supposed to be like two or three slices of Kraft cheese, and that's how you roll. 833-563-2539. Now that we know that's the number one is grilled cheese, how do you feel? Like, what sandwich would you have put in that spot? Liv, you brought up club, and that came on the list at number six with about 68% of people saying, yeah, that is the most popular sandwich to me.
So I think the club should have been higher than number six, but I also think probably the Reuben and the PB&J and maybe like just a classic turkey, maybe a ham and cheese are all on there.
Yeah, the Reuben is on there. Here's what disappointed me and made me sad. Reuben is one of my favorite sandwiches. I will get that if it's just me and my boys. But like if I go out with my wife, I don't like eating a Reuben. Or if I'm with like other people that I'm like not trying to impress, but I don't want to go out to a work event and have stank breath because Reubens are so good with that kraut in there, but they're going to make your breath funky.
See, yeah, Reubens wouldn't be like a crowd favorite to me because it's almost like an acquired taste. Like this sauerkraut with the Thousand Island.
So good
with
right
the
now.
Rye bread. It's kind of like an acquired thing, but I think they're delicious.
Here's what kills me. Grilled cheese, number one. Okay, makes sense. PB&J, I think, should have been in the top three. It was, It was number nine. It barely made the top 10. You know what came in at number two?
What?
I call BS, a grilled chicken sandwich.
I don't even think that's a traditional sandwich. That shouldn't even be on the list. We're talking deli meats here, people.
Unless we're at Chick-fil-A, which is delicious, but still, that's a stretch.
That's not even a sandwich.
The ones you mentioned in there, you had like number three was turkey, roast beef was number four, ham sandwich at five. And I like a BLT. BLT in a club would be in my top five, my Mount Rushmore of American sandwiches.
See, now BLT would be lower for me. I think a club should definitely be above a BLT because, you know, it is just bacon, lettuce, tomato. Technically, those are all like add-ons to an actual
those
sandwich.
Those are condiments.
Exactly. Now, if it was like a BLT with some avocado or if you had just some egg
that's
on
still
there,
a condiment.
Or some turkey.
There's a meat. There we go. Now, here's what bothered me. Because these, I love you guys, but if you eat this, especially at work, you are gross and disgusting. And
oh,
should
I already
not
know what you're going to say.
What is it?
Tuna.
Yes. If you eat a tuna sandwich, get out of here, fish face.
Dude.
If you eat an egg salad sandwich, get out of here, gassy Gabby.
I was going to say that too. Egg salad, bye.
Oh,
absolutely
hey.
Not.
Thanks for that egg salad sandwich. Oh, God. That's what I got to deal with all day. You got the walking farts.
I'm surprised an ice cream sandwich didn't make it on there.
You know what, Liv? That's why I like you, because you think outside of the box. And I would have put a Neapolitan ice cream sandwich ahead of the grilled cheese. Actually, God, now I know what I'm doing for lunch. Grilled cheese and an ice cream sandwich.
I think there's an ice cream truck coming around soon.
Joe in the Radio Now Morning Show. That'll do it for a Monday edition. Man, how many parents are celebrating today that their kiddos are back in school? Oh, man. Sorry, guys, if you're a kid and you had to go to school today, you shouldn't be hearing this unless you're like me and you were skipping your first day of school. God, do I not miss being in school? But I did look forward to lunches. What are we doing for lunch today? We got any plans? Anybody? Somebody?
I don't know. You down?
I already have plans.
Oh,
sorry,
okay.
Guys.
Sorry to bother you, avocado toast. My bad. No, I don't know what I'm doing. I was planning on meeting up with someone today, so I don't know. Maybe we'll grab lunch. And then, I don't know. I was going to go do some disc golf on my own today, get a little exercise in, a little cardio, a little relaxation. I think it's going to start raining in the next couple of days.
What the heck does on your own mean? Because literally when you said pork chop, what are you doing today? I was going to say, well, Joe, I was going to ask you if you wanted to go disc golfing. But don't worry, if you said no, I had a backup plan. I was going to ask Liv if she wanted to play tennis.
All right, why don't you go do that? I think you and Liv playing tennis might be a good idea.
I don't think I'm going to be able to because I have to work tonight.
Oh, okay. No, I'm at the point now, like Porkchop and I got in an argument yesterday disc golfing, and I was like, I just need some time away. We have to separate.
Oh, okay.
It's not you.
Was
it
just
you.
The two of you all doing disc golf yesterday?
No, it was me, Pork Chop, and our buddy Chad.
Oh,
and,
wait, you were all's lover, Chad.
I don't think
I'm convinced there's a throuple.
Well, Chad,
going on.
Chad's married with a wife. I don't think there's a sexual attraction
throuple,
among the three of us.
Throuple.
Do you have a sexual attraction to Chad, our buddy?
No, I do not.
Okay. Are you just saying that because he's listening right now?
No, I mean, I don't.
Pork Chop, stop winking at me.
No kidding.
What?
Chad, you're a cool guy, but I hope I'm not letting you down. I don't have a sexual attraction to you. I have a friendship
right.
that I enjoy.
It doesn't have to be sexual. It can be an emotional relationship.
No, I think we all know what my type is.
Yeah.
Breathing.
18. No, not 18.
17. Breathing. Okay. Well, that's kind of my day. Then I got therapy tonight. I got to check because I put therapy. I don't know if it's couples or solo. So either way, I'll see you soon, Julie. Looking forward to doing therapy tonight. What do you
Are
got going
gonna
on?
Are we going to get some tears?
I don't think so.
He always says that, but that's when you know the next day he's going to be coming in with some heat.
Yeah, possibly. What do you got going on?
I'm just going to get some lunch, and I just have work later today. I'm just going to try to take it a little bit easy. I'm super tired.
All right, cool. What about you, Pork Chop? What's your day looking like?
I already said it. I was going to ask you if you wanted to play disc golf.
Yeah, I'll call you. Don't worry.
You know what's worse than a loser that plays disc golf? A loser that plays disc golf and can't find anyone to play with him.
You know what, Liv? Why don't you come out and play with us?
I'm just kidding. Maybe one day.
All right. I think we got to get Liv out on the course. Well, hey, I'm looking forward to tomorrow's show. It's going to be really fun. We are going to, of course, do Song of the Day. It's a brand new thing we do where you help us pick out the best song with the category we provide. That'll be at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Also tomorrow on the show, I want to do a little dare dice. That's right. We're going to roll the dice, and the loser will have to reach into the box of shame and do that punishment live on our social media, which is Radio Now AM Show. But listen, we can't do any of that, though, unless we get on out of here. So for myself, Joe, Liv the Web Girl, and producer Pork Chop, let's say goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, you ruined it.